Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of Carnegie Mellon University's Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the Department of Defense and operated by Carnegie Mellon University. A transcript of today's podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Eileen Rubel, and I'm the tech lead for the SEI's Agile in Government program. Today, I'm joined by Dan Kleindienst, who is a vulnerability analyst in the SEI's CERT division. Today, we're here to talk about Dan's latest work, which is the 2017 Emerging Technology Domains Risk Survey, which summarizes our understanding of future technologies. Dan, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
So before we get started, could you tell me a little bit about yourself, your interests, your background, and what led you to the work you're doing now?
Sure. So I got involved in cybersecurity about 15 years ago, and first I was doing sort of general security, and then I got into doing what's called penetration testing, which is taking an adversarial look at companies' networks, trying to find the vulnerabilities in them before bad guys do. And so I did a lot of that work here at CERT for a few years. And then eventually I moved into doing vulnerability analysis, which is sort of stepping back a level and trying to find the vulnerabilities that the penetration testers would look for in live networks. So instead of going out and trying to break into things out in the field, now I sit in my office and try to break into things.
Break into things from the inside before they're found.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about emerging technologies. You published this report on at-risk emerging technologies, and my understanding is this is an annual report that you've developed for the last few years. Can you tell me, how did that come about, how you do the research, and then how is that information put to use?
Sure. So the genesis of this report was a couple years ago, as you said, and the Department of Homeland Security, U.S. CERT, came and asked us to do some research in this area. Now, U.S. CERT is the government computer emergency response team, which is responsible for sort of coordinating incident response and vulnerability coordination across the U.S., while CERT, and specifically the CERT Coordination Center, is the center here at Carnegie Mellon University that does research to help support their mission.
Oh, okay.
So they came to us and said, okay, we realize that no longer are security and network incidents just based around computers and traditional IT networks, but now we've got these mobile devices that are going everywhere, and even worse, now we have computers going into virtually everything around us, all sorts of things embedded in cameras and toys and all sorts of things.
My refrigerator.
Your refrigerator, sure. And so they came to us a couple years ago and said, could you try to take a forward-looking approach and tell us what are the important technologies going to be over the next few years that we should be worried about now so we can get ahead of these threats? So that was kind of the initial request. And they didn't have a firm way of how we should do that or anything. So the methodology that we sort of developed for the report originally was we took something that's called the Gartner Hype Cycle, which basically covers, I think it's something like 1,500 technologies on average each year, and they talk about how soon they're going to reach the points of like early adopters are using them, like market saturation. Is there going to be a point at which they've sort of passed their peak of usefulness, or where they just become sort of a commodity in the marketplace? So we used that as a baseline, tried to identify the ones that were fairly near term and had interesting or novel security risks attached to them. And so we've redone that every year. We go back and look at the newest year's Gartner report and pick out the technologies. We start with a few dozen of them and then try to narrow them down by what seems like it's going to be important, especially in like the 2 to 5 year range, maybe a little bit out of that if it's going to be, you know, a really big deal. But we're focused on sort of things that are actionable now, not, you know, something that's going to be popular 15 years from now.
Okay. And this is a multi-year, you do this every year. So each year builds on the years prior, but it doesn't erase it.
It doesn't supersede
right?
it, correct. So this is the third year that we've done one of these, and all of the things in the first year that we did it are still important. You know, sometimes things will fade away a little bit or become a little bit less relevant, but for the most part, everything that we've warned about in the past is still an issue today. But obviously new technologies are coming and being adopted all the time, so we try to refresh that each year.
Okay. And then I understand that you identified 8 emerging domains this year We don't need to talk about all of them, but I'm wondering, did any of this surprise you? And if I'm a government agency or a defense program, what really should be on my radar?
So what we said in the report and what I personally think is that the two things that surprise me in the sense that they're coming much faster than I expected are robotics and machine learning or artificial intelligence. Just 3 years ago, people were saying, oh, someday we're going to have self-driving cars. Well, now we have self-driving cars on the streets right here in Pittsburgh.
Right.
So these things are moving much quicker than I think a lot of people expected, even Gartner, which isn't to say that the other technologies aren't interesting or novel or moving quickly, but I'm personally surprised that I'm living in an era when there are robots and artificial intelligence around me.
Yeah, and we have multiple self-driving car companies in Pittsburgh anymore. It's not just one platform.
Right. And self-driving cars are a perfect example of the fact that they need to use both robotics and machine learning in order to operate. So there's this, coming to this convergence of technologies. And another of the fields or another of the domains that we talked about in the report are intelligent transportation systems, which is kind of stepping even past the self-driving cars. And now we're talking about you've got cars on the road that are also trying to coordinate with trains and pedestrians and bicyclists, all using digital information and being fed into some sort of machine learning background. So we included that partly because transportation is, very important. There's actual risks to people because of cars and obviously the pedestrians. Mm-hmm. So the risk is important, but also it's an interesting place where robotics and machine learning are coming together.
That's really cool. Does that tie in at all, or do you have visions of that tying in at all with, I know that they're doing like the smart traffic kinds of work, research work on campus?
Yeah, so campus is doing some work on some smart traffic signals. They've got a pilot set up here in Pittsburgh, which attempts to manage traffic better by changing traffic lights based on rates of traffic flow and the number of pedestrians waiting to cross, whether there's a bus coming, things like that. And that information is going to be used by itself to manage traffic, but then there's also these initiatives funded by the Department of Transportation to try to take that information and share it with any vehicles that are around it on the road. So it's called vehicle-to-vehicle and vehicle-to-infrastructure technologies, and they're already testing this out to try to, as your car comes forward, your car is going to know that the light is going to turn red in 10 seconds, and it may take some action eventually based on that.
Well, that's going to change the way we live.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And that's the great thing about being here at Carnegie Mellon is that we're right here in the hub of where they're doing all of this different research.
So speaking of more about research, is the work that you're doing on this influencing the research strategies at CERT? And if so, can you talk to me a little bit about what projects or what areas you might be working with?
Sure. Yeah, it absolutely is. One of the main reasons that US CERT asked us to do this research originally was that we were to tell them what kind of research we should be working on, what is high priority. And, of course, they decided what they thought was priority and stuff, but they wanted a research-based approach to decide what should we be looking at as we moved forward. So out of the first report, one of the things that was in the report was connected cars. So this is really the cars that you have now that already have a cell phone in them, and they can do navigation and maps, and they have some internet connectivity. And so that directly led us to start doing research in cars and vehicles. And we're moving towards autonomous vehicles, but over the past year, 2 years, we've done a lot of research into cybersecurity vulnerabilities in different types of vehicles and systems that go into vehicles.
Okay.
So that's one example of where this report directly caused our research to go in a specific direction.
That's got to be really fulfilling to see the needle move as a direct result of your work in this area.
Yeah, it's really nice to be involved at kind of all steps. We identify things that are upcoming, and then as they get more important, then we start doing some research in that. And now, we start actually putting out research or advisories or recommendations that are relevant to things that are really happening in the real world now.
That's great. Dan, thanks so much for coming to sit with me and talk about this today. Dan also recently authored a blog post on this work that can be found at insights.sei.cmu.edu. Click on the authors tab and find Dan's last name, Kleindienst. It starts with a K. Please know that we'll provide links to these resources in our transcript. The podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site, and the SEI's YouTube channel. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info.sei.cmu.edu. Thanks for joining us.